Welcome to the Community Wealth Canada podcast. I'm Colin Brusanthus. Community wealth building often begins with anchor institutions purchasing locally for community benefit. In Berkshire County, Massachusetts, the Schumacher Center for a New Economics developed a simple but brilliant method of connecting community purpose to individual purchasing, a community-owned currency called Berkshares. Each Berkshare can be purchased for a dollar and can be swapped back for that dollar at any time. The Berkshare itself, however, can only be used at locally owned participating businesses. This keeps more money circulating productively in the community, provides an oligarch-free method of money printing and spending, saves small sellers from high credit fees, and makes the already existing businesses better community actors. Now 17 years in, Berkshares has proved enormously popular with nearly 400 participating local businesses. We're joined today by Alice Maggio. Alice is, among other things, a board member of the Schumacher Center for a New Economics and spent several years as the director of Berkshares, during which time she helped bring the currency to scale. Alice, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the concept of a local currency is certainly going to be new to a lot of people. Why don't you begin by breaking down what a local currency is and why people might become interested in developing one?
Well, a local currency is something that many communities had for a long time in the United States. And it's just a medium of exchange that can be used within a certain geographic area. So it's really just going back to that idea. And the reason for that is to strengthen regional economies so that they can be more interdependent and strengthen themselves through keeping the money local.
It's very interesting to note that this has deep historic roots. Of course, in recent years, there has been an uptick in what we might call alternative currencies, but often very speculative through things like crypto, quite removed from local needs, community, what some people might think of as the real economy. Can you speak a little bit to how Berkshares developed with community purpose really in mind from the get-go?
So the idea of Berkshares is to actually be a democratically run currency. And that's kind of taking the idea a step further than what we might have had in this country in the 1800s, because those currencies were issued by banks and banks were run by bankers and different forms of banks. And there was not anything inherently democratic about them. So Berkshares, they're issued by a nonprofit, democratically run organization called Berkshares Inc. And we work in partnership with banks to administer the currency. And that's a really fundamental part of how it works. And we value the partnership of the banks in the currency. But the actual organization that has the board that runs the currency is an open membership organization where anybody from the region can become a member if they pay modest dues each year. And then they can either run for the board of directors or they can elect the board of directors. And so that's the organization that's making the decisions about the currency. And the longer term vision for a democratically run regional currency is to be able to issue new money into the economy for productive purposes. So if there is a business that has an opportunity to fill in a gap in the local economy, you could issue a loan to that business in your local currency and then get them off the ground. And that's creating new value, new goods, new services in your economy. With a little bit of your local currency, you're creating a lot of goods and value in your local economy.
The idea of having a democratic currency, something that is truly a locally owned and controlled asset, allows people to start thinking about the other kinds of assets they would like to develop and promote over time.
Exactly. And that's why the board would appoint a loan committee, and that loan committee would be all local people, and they would be able to say, yes, this is what we really need. And, you know, this looks like a good business plan for our community. And that's why we're lending our currency to it, so that it becomes something that serves the community and that the organization is representative of the community needs.
In many of our earlier episodes, guests have spoken to the importance of credit unions in developing the other things that people need in their communities. Could credit unions potentially get involved in local currencies?
Absolutely. I mean, we work with a cooperative bank. I think the thing is that if you have a community currency, you're designing it to meet your needs and your conditions. And that is if there are credit unions who are interested, or cooperative banks, or mutual banks, or stockholder-owned banks, if they're interested and you can bring them into the fold, there can be a role for them. Credit unions do have lending power. And so that even if you don't have a local currency, there might be many functions that credit unions could be doing that are very similar to what the ethos of the local currency is.
So we now have the component parts. We've got the participating local banks where people can get the currency. We've got the local nonprofit that oversees the currency, and we've got the participating local businesses that accept the currency. If someone were to start a new one from scratch in their community, how does this go step by step? Do they begin by forming the nonprofit and then start reaching out to the participating banks?
It might depend on your community and your conditions. So Berkshires grew out of many, many years of experimentation with local currency and getting people comfortable with the idea or just familiar with it or intrigued by it. So there were many precursors to Berkshires as they are now. And a program called SHARE, Self-Help for a Regional Economy, which was a loan program. So all of those things kind of ended up coming together over many years and then becoming Berkshires as they are now. And so there were already bankers that were familiar with the idea of local currency. There were already community members familiar with the idea of using local money to keep your local businesses strong. So I think that's maybe the thing to think about is how do you kind of lay the groundwork by getting people familiar with the concepts, not just like the idea of a local currency, but the idea of what you're trying to accomplish with it and get people excited about that. And I think people do tend to be really excited about local economic development because people love where they live and they dig in and they love to help their neighbors. And they also are intrigued by new ways of supporting their local economy because there's been a lot of kind of boring economic development out there that doesn't necessarily do anything new. And the Berkshires was very inspired by Jane Jacobs and her book, Cities and the Wealth of Nations. Mm. And in that book, she talks a lot about how do you create kind of cities and their regions. She really was interested in regional economies based around like a very productive city. And Berkshires is in a very rural area. It doesn't really have like a huge city that it's connected to, but we're still interested in this idea of regional economies and import substitution that Jane Jacobs talked about. And Jane Jacobs lays out the kind of, you know, the maybe 20th century like predominant model of economic development was just to try to attract big companies to your town or your city by giving them lots of incentives. And that's certainly still, that model is still around. Yeah. But that company that you try to attract by giving them a lot of stuff doesn't really get tied down at all. If they're a corporation with headquarters far away, they don't really have much accountability to your community. And so they could up and leave at any moment and leave everybody hanging. And that has happened in the Berkshires. And so people have seen that model not work, like hanging all of your, you know, hopes on this one company. And so the people are already kind of interested in something that's different. So that's what we tried to do with Berkshires.
That's brilliant. I know in Canada, for a lot of communities, that company was General Motors for a long time. And in the last couple of decades, we've seen many of these what are sometimes called throwaway cities, where, as you say, they find out it was a one-way street all along, and the company that their economy was really anchored around suddenly gets up and leaves, and people end up with opioid addiction sometimes. People end up in really difficult circumstances. And so these innovations that allow for a both something new in a community, but something that also has a long-term vision. And you see that with Berkshires, that it's grown over time and become more communitarian over time. That's, I think, something that really excites people right now.
I think creating a diverse local economy is what Berkshires is trying to do. And that's coming from that idea of Jane Jacobs and import substitution, and not all based on that one business that's going to, you know, bring all the jobs. So I think just like we need biodiversity, you need like economic diversity, and people can like that, I think.
You did a lot of work expanding Berkshares and getting more community partners involved in it. Can you speak about what that's like? How do you reach out to participating small businesses, local businesses, and getting them on board with a mission like this?
Well, I think people like it if you are trying to support them. So that's easy. If you just come and really show them how you can support them and the kind of work you're doing to promote businesses, small businesses like theirs. We did one thing called Berkshire's Business of the Month, which was a radio interview and a story in the paper, the local paper, about a different business each month. And it was a highlight of one of the businesses that took Berkshire's. And it we actually didn't talk much about Berkshire's usually. We talked about their business, their stories, and where they came from and what they offer that was special. And then we would get around to, well, why do you take Berkshire's and what does it mean to you? But it wasn't always the center of it. So we were always trying to tell stories from the local economy. And then with organizations and partners, I think that bringing a different story or an exciting new idea is really what we were able to do. And we also just tried to create spaces that like that people like to be in. We created an entry to entrepreneurship program, which was the whole idea was to come up with those business ideas that would fill in the gaps in the local economy. But understanding that starting a business is really difficult, especially if you're a young person and you don't have a lot of resources of your own to start a business. And so we can't expect for these businesses to pop up and to have a diverse local economy unless we actually work together to make it happen. That was what the entry to entrepreneurship program, it kind of started with like a very simple idea of a business planning contest for high schoolers. And then it took on a life of its own as we actually created it. And it became not a contest, but a celebration. We included kids from 14 years old to 26 years old. And then we brought in mentors from the community and presenters from the community. And so everybody got to be a part of this and make new connections. And people just enjoyed being there. And we didn't necessarily see many, many businesses start right after that program because we were teaching 14-year-olds who needed to finish high school. But we know that they made new connections in the community. The mentors enjoyed thinking about this with them. And we did see a couple businesses come out of that. So I think it was just, it's like not demanding too much too fast, but just creating those conditions and instilling some new ideas.
If I could follow up with a detailed question to what you were just talking about and getting others on board, is it wise to start in a given part of a community and branch out? For instance, I live in a city that has a fairly pronounced downtown. There's a downtown business association. Would it make sense, do you think, to start kind of in the downtown core and branch out? Or is it something that you want to kind of spread your wings as wide as possible within the community when you hit the ground?
I think you try to find a little core of support and make sure you're not too niche or like, you know, that you're not like hemming yourself in. I think a lot of places that have local currencies do start with a downtown and go from there. But I think you can see where the interest is and maybe who needs this kind of support or, you know, who's interested in this kind of collaboration. I wasn't there from the beginning, but I think that having the interest in the groundwork kind of done with relationships was really a big part of it. Having some key people in the original board of Berkshire's who had really strong relationships or, you know, grew up in the town and could go out and talk to everybody and say, just try it. Like, just try it because I'm asking you to. And I think that worked really well. So the relationships and kind of having people not having it not be too foreign is a good place to start.
I have two last questions for you. One is, you're currently doing work with social finance. Do you see connections between the work that you've done in Berkshire's and this current stage of your own career?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's all connected. I work for the Working World in New York City, and we lend to cooperative businesses. And we think of ourselves as a cooperative financial institution. We are technically a community development financial institution, but we set ourselves up as a cooperative. The people that are working with the cooperatives make the decisions about the lending to cooperatives. So it's not like there's some distant group that makes all the decisions about how much money to lend or to whom. but the people actually working on the ground with the cooperatives are involved in those decisions and make those decisions. So it's similar in that way to the idea of lending with Berkshares or local currency, where it's like very real world experience, and it's not the experts up on a hill that get to make the decisions, or just because somebody has money, they get to make decisions. It's community members and people working in the field making the decisions.
That's brilliant. Maybe if we get to producing a second season, we can go more in depth into that. What would be some great first resources for people who are interested in looking up the Berkshires model, looking at replication in another community?
The first place is the Schumacher Center for New Economics website, which is centerforneweconomics.org. And there's an overwhelming amount of reading material and videos and podcasts that the Schumacher Center has from over 40 years of work. And so there's some really key kind of thought pieces there. There's a number by Susan Witt about local currency and about the promise of this kind of democratic local currency. There's also some more background thought pieces by Bob Swan, who's one of the co-founders of the Schumacher Center with Susan. And you can kind of trace the thought all the way back to the early 20th century. And you can find out about a lot of other forms of community development that the Schumacher Center has been involved in. And then there's Jane Jacobs' book, Cities and the Wealth of Nations, which is a fun read because it's just kind of like a renegade economist. Mm-hmm. But then there's also just Berkshire's website, and the Schumacher Center has a lot of information about all of those precursors to Berkshires. And you can just see, you know, you don't have to start with the fully formed currency. There might be intermediary steps you can take, and you can maybe invent new ones that you're not trying to do it all at once, but you might do something like entry to entrepreneurship. All of that is on the website of the Schumacher Center, or you can ask the Schumacher Center team how to find it. So those are good places to start.
And of course, I'll put links to all of those in the description. Alice Maggio, I want to thank you so much for taking the time here today. I think you're absolutely right. This is an innovation that allows people to get kind of excited about doing things a little differently, being a bit more creative in their communities, as well as being very practical. So thank you so much for taking the time to lay this out for us today.
Thanks, Colin.
And thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to support this podcast financially, 10% of all donations will be earmarked for grants to help Canadians develop new worker-owned cooperatives. Stay well.